Father, we come as those faint hearts we just sung about, confessing, Lord, that at times we're slow to believe, we're weak in faith, but we come in confidence that Christ, our Redeemer, is strong. We come in confidence that even a weak faith saves, and Lord, that you can even strengthen a weak faith and sustain us. Lord, we pray now that you might do that work through your Spirit and your Word. Strengthen us in faith that we might cling to what you have told us to be truly true. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my daughter in high school was a swimmer, and her first year swimming on varsity found her at the district meet preparing to swim the 200 IM. Now, in the 200 IM, you swim all four swimming strokes, each 50 meters. And as she was getting ready for her race, I noticed her coach leaving the coach's area and made a beeline to my daughter. She leaned over and spoke into her ear. And it was longer than kind of a, hey, go get them, have a good race, good luck. I was curious what she had said to her. She returned and quickly they called the racers to the blocks and Ansley dove in and four lengths later, 200 meters, she had set a personal record, her best time ever in the 200 IM. Well, now, I was really curious what the coach had said to her right before the race. Well, afterwards, we're celebrating with her and just the joy of kind of achieving a new accomplishment. And I said, Ansley, what did your coach say to you right before the race? Ansley got a little serious, a little annoyed. She said, she came up to me right before the race. She said, do you not know that each of these four strokes individually, when you're just doing the 50 meters in each of these strokes, you have some great times. But do you not know that when you do the 200 IM, you hold back. You don't give it your all. You don't swim as fast as you could swim. And then she walked off. That was it. Ansley was so mad that she swam her best time ever. I just had to laugh. That coach saw that Ansley lacked faith. The coach saw that within Ansley was the capability of swimming faster than she had swum, but she lacked faith. The coach couldn't give her faith, but the coach could bypass her unbelief by making her mad, and it worked. I think Paul is doing something a little bit like that in Romans 6. I think Paul knows that when people receive God's grace, but they lack faith, they're weak in faith, they get stuck. They get stuck living the way they've always lived. They stay on the sidelines, never fully engaging with Christ. And so, like a good coach, he challenges them to believe. To believe there's more out there. There's a greater reality than they currently believe. Paul comes up to his Roman audience and says, do you not know? Do you not know who you are and whose you are? Paul's seen this poisonous attitude creeping in. Since grace is so great, it doesn't matter how we live. We can just keep on living lives of sin. Right? Romans chapter 6, verse 2, Paul says, by no means. May it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And then Paul will conclude in verse 11, so you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Twice Paul says we've died to sin, we're to be dead to sin, and that we have somehow died with Christ. What does this mean? Paul compares dying to sin to a slave being set free. Sin was the master, you were the slave. You were born into a life of sin, a life of slavery to sin. Sin has been the ruler, sin has been the boss of your life, demanding you fulfill its every desire. And up until your baptism, you had no other choice. But now Paul says this. He says, you are no longer enslaved to sin. You have been set free from sin. Paul says, this occurred through your baptism because in your baptism you were united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And so Christ's death on the cross, when he conquers sin and death, that becomes your victory over sin and death by virtue of your union with Christ. Let that sink in. You have been set free from sin. But we don't believe it, do we? We don't believe we're really dead to sin. Well, because it's pretty obvious sin's still kind of alive in our lives. If we've really died to sin, why is sin such a big issue for all of us? Consider what happened after the Civil War. When the North defeated the South, and slavery was no longer the law of the land, the power of slavery was broken. There were no more slaves. That was good news, especially if you were a slave. But in many ways, not much changed. There were slaves that remained on the plantation and continued to work just as they worked when they were slaves, even though now they were free. They knew no other way of life. Old habits die hard. But there were also slaves who had been freed who set out to make a new life, to enjoy the new freedom that was now theirs, only to discover that even though the law of slavery had been done away with, the spirit of slavery remained. Through violence and intimidation and Jim Crow laws, the spirit of slavery fought against their new freedom. So in baptism, we've been set free. The power of sin is broken. Even though sin is still present, it can no longer condemn you. You're forgiven, free from the penalty of death. You no longer have to obey sin. It no longer has authority over you. That's all true. But in some ways, we're like those freed slaves. We still have old sinful habits that resist change, don't we? And we still have the devil in our old sin nature who are not happy about being dethroned. And they will use every lie in the book to keep us enslaved. So what's Paul say we need to do? Verse 11. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul waits until this moment in Romans to issue the very first command in the whole book. 5.5 chapters, no commands, but we get to this critical juncture, and Paul gives his first command. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. The old King James, reckon. It means to think about, to do the math, to count on it. Now, Paul has already declared you've died to sin. But now it sounds like he's saying, but now pretend it's really true, even though maybe it's not. What does that mean? Why is Paul telling us now, now you need to consider it true? You know the answer. Because everything, our feelings, our experiences, our sinful flesh, the devil, they all scream, you are just a sinner. And sinners are going to sin. You're just a sinner, and sinners are going to sin. Your feelings, your experience, the devil and your own flesh confirm you're just a sinner. Paul tells us we've got to consider daily that we have died to sin and we have life in Christ because he knows we're weak in faith. He knows we tend to believe what we feel and experience even more than God's word. His command to consider is actually a call to believe. Consider doesn't mean have faith in faith. It doesn't mean believe something that's not true and your faith will manifest it as true. To consider you're dead to sin means to believe it because it is true. To believe it because God's word is more true than your feelings and your experience, and certainly more true than the devil's sweet lies. To consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus is to believe. It's to believe your baptism. Consider your baptism. Your baptism did something. It wasn't just a sign. It wasn't just you raising your flag saying, I'm now a Christian, I identify with the church. Your baptism did something. In your baptism, you were united to Christ in his death and resurrection. In your baptism, you received the forgiveness of sins. In your baptism, the power of sin was broken. You died to sin. So what? So when the devil comes tempting, you believe your baptism. No, devil. You got no authority over me. You're not my boss. I've died to sin. When old habits die hard, when you find yourself tripping and stumbling in the same old ways you always have, you believe your baptism. You believe your baptism that calls you to a daily confession and repentance in which you continuously drown the old Adam, the old way of life. You continually trust that God is raising up a new man, a new way of life. Paul calls it a newness of life. When guilt bears down on you, you believe your baptism. That in baptism, you are united to Christ, and not only does he take from you your sin, he gives to you his righteousness. When the devil accuses you, you say, devil, it's far worse than that. I've also sinned in this way, this way, and this way, but devil, you may get the upper hand from time to time, but you're going down. Your accusations can't pierce the righteousness of Christ that is my armor. And one day soon, devil, your day's over. And the new man that God has created in me will rise up from the grave, truly free from the sin that we've already died to. To believe your baptism is to continue in faith, hearing God's word, receiving Christ's body and blood, and considering what your life looks like as one who's dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You'll always battle the old ways in this life. You'll always have the devil lying and accusing. It's not easy to learn a new way of life. At times we'll struggle and fail and even be discouraged. But you keep believing. You keep believing God's word. You keep believing your baptism that did something. And you just might find yourself swimming in some new waters, with a new appreciation for the depth of God's forgiveness. a new appreciation for the breath of God's grace that can sustain you in stormy times. Even a new life you never imagined possible. And ultimately, a firm assurance that the one who unites himself to you in baptism is strong to save and strong to sanctify, which we receive his work by grace through faith. That's what Paul wants. I want you to believe that there's a greater work in you than you can see, a work wrought by baptism that cannot fail, that we might live the new life God calls us to live. Amen. Father, we rejoice that in our stumbling and fumbling, in our lostness and our misdirections, in our failures, in our sin, that our baptism rings true. Our baptism has the final word. That in baptism, you accomplished the great work for us. Father, give us the faith to believe all that you say is true, that we might not remain stuck in old ways of life that no longer have authority over us, but we might learn to follow you, keeping in step with the Spirit, learning this newness of life. Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient to sustain us until that day you raise us from the dead and we join in Christ's resurrection forever. Until that day, strengthen us in faith. Give us ears to hear your word and receive it in faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.